just going to read a few verses where in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, it's a short reading, but it's from verse 25. Jesus tried to explain things to the disciples. He said, "Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day you will ask him my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." Just verse 27. "The Father himself loves you because you have loved me." And it's one of my favourite Bible verses. And I'm not going beyond that. And that's all I'm going to say this morning. The Father himself loves you. Sometimes we're brought up with ideas in our head that are wrong. We don't know they're wrong. I remember when I was a little child, my mother, don't know why, my mother said to me, it's all right, if you eat an apple, it's like brushing your teeth. And believe it or not, it wasn't until I was at university that I stopped and said, "Wait a minute, that can't be right." So there I am, 20 years of age, and I'm just beginning to say, that wasn't right. Now, fortunately, I didn't take it seriously enough that I stopped brushing my teeth and just ate an apple before I went to bed, otherwise I'd have had no teeth at all. But all of us have things in our head that we learned as children, that when we get older, we say, "Wait a minute, that's not right." And Jesus here is trying to explain to the children, at least to his disciples, that things they learned as children aren't necessarily correct. I remember a poor lad who was told by his grandmother that he had an angel on each shoulder who was making a note of everything he did every day. But that poor child. Poor child. Not true. But Jesus has to get things out of the disciples' heads. And one of the things is that they really weren't sure whether God loved them or not. They really weren't sure whether God was happy with them or angry with them. And they needed that made clear. And for some people it is a big problem. It's a big problem for some people who never knew the love of a father and never had a hug from their dad. The idea of God loving them and wanting to give them a hug is difficult. Down the years I've met a number of people like that. What I've said to them is, "Look, just tell you what, how do you get on with your mother?" "Oh great, my mum was great." Just imagine God as your mother for the moment, giving you a hug, and that would be fine. Nothing wrong with that. So, God, the Father himself, loves you. And some people have a very impersonal view of God. Some people are Star Wars fans and talk about the Force being with you. And nothing against Star Wars. But God is not an impersonal force. God is a person. And God is capable of loving us. In fact, the whole idea of God in the Bible is that we have a God in three persons: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They are God. But it just gives an idea that within God, love is just important. It's just part of God's being. God cannot help but love. That is a part of God and his love and his care for people. Sometimes we doubt it, And we shouldn't, because God really loves us. The Father himself loves you. It couldn't be clearer than that, could it? The Father himself loves you. I'm going to repeat it until he's 7 million-year-old day, because it's just important. The Father himself loves you. John Donne, the poet in early Elizabethan times, wrote one of my favourite poems. It's called "Batter My Heart, Thou Triune God, Batter My Heart." I know you love me, but my heart can just get so hard and harsh and difficult. A poet at the beginning of the 20th century, Francis Thompson, wrote a poem called "The Hound of Heaven," which I've often heard preached, quote, I actually learnt it by heart, because I loved it so much. Don't ask me to repeat it now, because you'll be here half the morning, it's a long poem. But the idea is that he begins, I fled in down the nights and down the days. He's running away from God, and God was like a bloodhound following his trail, tracing him, until eventually he stops and realizes that he can't outrun God. And he stops and just opens his heart to God. And God and he embrace each other. And then he stops running from God. It's a fabulous poem, but a long one. We run away from God. We've got the wrong view of God. We don't see God as loving. And I was just thinking this morning, you know, we can shut it out. I'm not the world's greatest fan of interpretive dance. I know some people think it's great. I never quite get it. But this morning when I had like half a dozen little girls dancing around me, I just thought, this is great. And the moment when they spin around so much they get dizzy and fall over. If at that moment you listen carefully, you can hear God laughing in heaven. Mm-hmm. You know? Because the Father himself loves you. And we can have a bit of an unbending ego. If you remember the Apostle Peter, when they were meeting up the night before Jesus was to be crucified, Jesus washes their feet as a sign of his service, and Peter says, you're not going to wash my feet. Oh, no, I'm going to wash your feet. No, Peter, you must let me wash your feet. You must receive love before you can give love. The Father himself loves you. And we can be so prickly and so awkward that we can just reject God. We have an unbending ego. Many years ago, a young man who's now one of my friends came to me and said, Peter, I was passing there in Bangkok. Peter, can I talk to you? He said, yeah, sure. So he sat down and said, Peter, what have I got to do to become a Christian? It's a great question. I mean, it is the best question you could ever be asked. So I just explained to him how we receive God and we let Jesus into our lives just to rule our lives, just to run our lives. We just let the love of God decide how we make our decisions, how we treat people and what we do. And he was really angry at me, because he didn't want to bend before God. He wanted to be a Christian. He wanted to carry on living exactly as he'd been doing. I said, you can't, you know. Okay, and he walked out, disappeared. Didn't see him again for about a year and a half. Bumped into him in the street now. I mean, how are you doing? He was polite, but kept me at arm's distance. Till one Sunday morning, remember the Sunday morning, I looked up there. He was sat in front of the balcony. And next Sunday he was back again. And then I discovered he was on an alpha course for people who wanted to find out about faith. And then he was back sitting in my office again and said, Peter, I walked out because I just didn't want to give my life to God. Didn't want to give my life to God. You really annoyed me. I was so angry at you for what you said to me. But now I realize I tried it my way and it didn't work. I'm going to give my life to God. And great, we baptized him. He found a beautiful Christian girl and married her. And he's got lovely children. And he moved down south, unfortunately. But he's still following Jesus. an unbending ego. You know, you don't want to receive God's love, but you've got to. The Father himself loves you. My wife and I once met a lady, it was down in South Wales, and we were like missionaries, and so she put us on this ridiculous pedestal. And we asked, how are you doing? Oh no, it's not important how I am, how are you? She asked how you were first. And then we couldn't do anything for her, you know. I've got to do this, but she had to bring you a present or do this for you, do the other things. And everything was, oh, what can I do? I've got to do this for the mission, I've got to do that for the mission. No, just talk to us. Just be our friend. But she couldn't get it. She had to keep on doing stuff for us. And the result was we were never friends. You can't be friends with somebody like that. You've got to sit down and share, haven't you? To be a friend. An unbending ego. And some people are like that with God. They've got to do this, got to do that, got to do that. Wait a minute. First thing you've got to do is just receive the love of God. The Father himself loves you. You've almost got that verse off by heart now, haven't you? The Father himself loves you. And some people really are worried they're not doing enough, and they just turn it back on God. I was at a conference once in Aberystwyth, and there's a young woman on the conference. I was one of the speakers because I was a mission. But she was, if I remember this right, she was a pastor of the Reformed Church of Hungary. This was when they were still in Iron Curtain. And it's remarkable, not just that she was a pastor of a church in Hungary, in communist country, but she was a woman pastor of a church. And so she was quite a character. And somebody, it wasn't me, set the group's question about what they could do better to serve God, you know? And all these ideas, kind of, we could do this, we could do that, we could do the other. And she was sort of getting more and more agitated in the seat. We could do this, we could do that, we could do the other. But she was more and more come until the dam burst. And she couldn't hold it any longer. She said, stop. You are all so success-minded. And the trouble was, she was right. I mean, there we were making these huge plans, they call it blue sky thinking, all the great things we could do with God, or for God. And this is a woman in a country where they were at a church almost in prison, you know? They were just fortunate to be there at all. Not let alone make plans about how they're going to change the world. They were going to change the world. No. First thing you've got to do is realize you're loved by God. She was right. We are too success-minded sometimes. And I was just thinking the other week, I was preaching, not on this verse, but just thinking about this, the Father himself loves you. I don't know why I said it, but I just kept talking to the congregation. I said, look, God was there when you were born. Maybe it's just because I became a grandfather for the first time, and I'm quite conscious of little children now. I think it's that. But God was there when you were born. God was there when you gave your first smile. God was there when you learnt to use both hands together at the same time. God was there when you crawled for the first time. God was there when you spoke for the first time, your first word. God was there when you took your first step. God was there. God was there when you went to school on your first day. God was there. And God has been there at every moment of life. God is there because God loves you. God wouldn't have missed any of those moments for the world. The Father himself loves you. God loves you. And that's all I have to say to you this morning. The Father himself loves you. And if we could, John could join us at the front here. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. The Father himself loves you, oh God. We shut you out of our world. We're so self-sufficient, so full of ourselves, so success-minded, so full of our own little ego, we just forget that most of all, we just want to hug us first and foremost, and then share our lives with us. So give us grace this morning, Father, to accept the hug from you, to accept that you've sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, and forgive us all that we've done wrong, just so that you can draw us to yourself, and love us, and care for us, and share our lives with us. Thank you. There hasn't been a moment of our life that you've missed. That each moment of our life, you want us to walk with you. And you want to share the next coming week with us in our world. Thank you, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.